champion to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans!
We should all display an emotion on our
It'll
face.
It'll be okay.
I'm laughing because of Megan's reaction, but I'm crying at the same time.
This is so difficult.
I'm not even going to bother asking how we're all doing today because I know. We're all feeling pretty great. This was an awesome episode, but I'm so angry at the same time.
So angry.
Well, folks, we are talking to you tonight about Season 3, Episode 7, Chaos Theory. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Steve Kaufman.
Also known as Jesse Klein's life model decoy.
I'm my own person, thanks. But yes,
disagree.
I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter, at Steve Kaufman. That's K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. And I feel like I'm going to be the emotional rock for this panel, just because I'm keeping a very strong face.
He's very stoic on the outside, but he's crying on the inside.
I'm always crying on the inside. That's comedian's secret.
Hey, Zach guys. Wilson. Thanks for joining us again this week. You can tweet me throughout the week, throughout the show, at @ZachWilson.
Oh, hey, guys. I'm trying to get over what happened.
It's okay, Zach. Joyce. It's okay.
Nice to be back. You guys can find me on Twitter at @JayAzuri and Snapchat at @JayAzuri. I've got some behind-the-scenes stuff of us, so check it out.
And unfortunately, Jesse Klein couldn't be here tonight, but we wish him all the best, guys. Tweet him your love because he is just the best and fantastic. I'm your host, Megan Salinas, and you guys can tweet at me directly at @TheMenguin. That's @TheMenguin. We are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag #ABTVShield, as always, and we are going to be keeping an eye on the live chat. See, we have two computers this time.
We're doing.
Even twice the processing power. It's going to be great. So we want to hear
how we process our emotions.
Pretty much.
It's okay if I could just hide behind the screen. But yeah, so we want to hear what you guys thought of tonight's episode as well. So yeah, and be sure to leave them in the comments. If you haven't already done so, subscribe to iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, all that fun stuff. Rate, leave a comment. We want to hear from you, and we'll have more on that later. Guys. So I want to go ahead and start off by saying, what do you guys feel was the strongest part of tonight's episode?
May.
Yeah.
Specifically May and the way she dealt with what was going on. I have feelings about Lash that we can get into later, but May was the rock in this episode.
Yeah. I think May and just Ming-Na Wen, she showed so much range in her acting as May, and like we saw a lot of emotions come from May that we don't normally see, which is amazing. We saw her smile for real. We saw her cry. We saw her like give in to Andrew, but it was so understandable, like all of it.
Somebody get Ming-Na Wen an Emmy.
Yes.
Please.
Come on.
No, it was amazing.
Go and get it.
She was amazing.
No. I know where they keep them. We just
She's been great. Not only is she consistently great in this show, but in this season in particular, she's been really great. Mm-hmm. I still think her strongest episode was the Bahrain episode, but this was so different. This was such a wider range of emotion. It was really, really great.
I actually liked Coulson this episode. Only because I have a theory that he knows. That he knows he's being set up.
That he knows he's being played.
That he knows he's being played. Coulson, you don't play Coulson.
You don't play.
I don't know.
Not simply walk into S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters.
I think one does not simply meet the president.
This might be the only time where he's like letting his guard down, and he's letting like himself fall for whatever's happening.
In the chat, they're like, get Ming-Na in studio, please. Yeah,
that would
we
be,
would,
we
want
would
to.
Love
I'll
that.
Tell you what,
true.
You guys tweet at her, encourage her to come to AfterBuzz TV.
Exactly.
That
we'll
actually
pay attention to that
can
sort of
help.
Thing.
That actually can work. So tweet at her, include the show, and hashtag ABTV Shield.
Because there are four of us, there are 84 of you.
Although, please understand, though, yeah, guys, part of the problem is actually production scheduling. Oh, yeah. A lot of times, they actually are working late into the night at the time we happen to be taping this.
Yeah.
So, and they work really, really hard to give us a really great show. So if they can't do it, we don't hold it against them, obviously.
Yeah. So when you tweet at them forcefully, just end your tweet with hashtag schedule permitting.
Be encouraging, but respectful.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Always be respectful. For me, I 100% agree with you guys. May was just phenomenal in this episode. But I was actually taken aback by how emotional I got at Fitz's storyline. Ian Dacus Stecker in this episode, he's basically, it's kind of like Interstellar. Mm. He's just reacting to a screen. Both him and Elizabeth in this episode, he's just reacting to a screen, and she's not talking to anybody. Mm. She's talking to a camera. And it's just one of the most moving things. I think both me and Zach were watching through our fingertips during every single one of those scenes.
I was getting super teary-eyed. They really touched upon a lot of emotions that, like, I've felt in my life, you know? So, like, seeing it happen on screen between the two of them, which we know, like, we've been dying for them to get together, like, it's something that just struck a chord with me. They did a great job.
I'm so torn because I know, and if Jesse was here, he would be making the point, like, Jesse's been very clear, he doesn't want them to get together.
Mm-hmm.
I am so torn on it at this point because I feel like there is a good story in the two of them getting together and it sort of not working out. I don't think they are, to put it a very internet way, I don't think they are OTP.
Yeah. I was thinking OTP the whole time.
But I don't know that they are. It's just, it's something I can't quite put my finger on. They are amazing together.
I want them to get together if the show's over. That's how I feel about them.
That would be their send-off.
They're each other's end. Mm. That I'm literally, we have a place now. It's a cottage off Perkshire.
I disagree with that because I actually, because so many stories end with couples getting together and then it's happily ever after. It's like, guys, that's just the start of the story. You know, seeing two people in a relationship and actually working together for the greater good, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of people like to focus on the drama stuff of getting together or, like, when things fall apart and coming back together. And that's compelling. But very few things actually look at a functioning relationship and actually look at it as a dynamic partnership. It's always about trying to get the girl or trying to get the guy.
I feel like if they do get them together in the show, it's not going to be all about their romance and all about their, like, you know, making out and time together and going out to dinner. It'll still be Fitz and Simmons. Like, it'll still be the scientific duo that we know. They're not going to bombard us with all the mushy stuff, but it will still be nice to see them finally, like, especially Fitz, get what he's been wanting for so long.
Well,
this is the tough part is we don't know what Gemma wants at this point.
I know.
We're very torn. Because it's not just about what Fitz wants.
No, I know.
And she's had a near-death experience.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
That
changes your perspective on things.
I will say, I think you guys brought me back onto the Fitzsimmons ship train.
We've gotten ship happy again. I'm so sorry. I'm not sorry.
No, this is important stuff. There's something, I guess maybe I'm looking at what we saw with Gemma and Will, where it was a more intense, there were more intense love and emotions going back. I don't know if they would have defined it as love, but that feelings going back and forth.
Emotions, there you go,
And I guess Fitz and Simmons is that more love that just blossoms out of friendship. And, like, I could see them, I guess what I wasn't sure if I could see them, like, in a relationship as I see it. But I could totally see them at a lab table together, like, holding hands under the desk.
Both with, like, cups of tea or,
Oh, that's so cute.
A quaint British relationship.
I do feel like Simmons, although it wasn't super clear, she sort of, you know, she made it clear to Fitz, like, whatever I said in that video that you recovered is still true.
I mean, I think it's fair. It's perfectly fair and reasonable for Gemma to not know what she wants right now.
No, I agree. Yeah. That's fine. And I think her focus is saving Will.
Well, and
which
not,
is okay.
Not only just talking about their chemistry together as actors, but the entire cast has such great chemistry together that every time anyone's on screen together and they're having a little bit of romantic tension, I'm yelling, kiss, kiss, kiss! Everyone has such great chemistry. They really put together an amazing, amazing cast. Oh, yeah, it's so much so that it's emotionally draining watching this show. So let's bring it back to May. Let's bring it back to May and Andrew, because we, first of all, I'm super surprised that Strucker's still alive.
Yeah.
Me too.
I thought he died.
He looked super dead.
I thought he was a goner.
Well, we got confirmation. Strucker's alive. Sadly, Kibo is dead. That's unfortunate. Mm. Poor Daz. I that's unfortunate. He's such a great guy.
We loved him when he was here.
He was fantastic. So yes, let's hope that maybe there's room for him in S.H.I.E.L.D. later on. But yeah, he was fantastic. But Strucker being alive is something that I feel is really going to come back to bite Ward so badly, and I cannot wait for that. Yeah. But May, when she finds out, she keeps it under, you know, she keeps it under wraps to the point where she waits till she can get him alone and then confronts him about it. Do you guys think you would have done the same? Like, if this was your significant other that you just reconnected with, would you guys have done the same?
I would have done it to someone who wasn't Lash. I'm as straightforward as May in those kind of situations, but not if my ex-husband is Lash. I don't think I'd... I mean, props to her. She was super brave to go in there knowing what she knew. I mean, she didn't really know much other than he's this monster and that he killed all these people. But I feel like May going in there was maybe her way of testing to see, like, you know, how he would react and what it really took for him to become Lash.
Yeah.
She found out.
Yeah.
So.
Fair enough. How about you?
I'm not sure I come back to me.
Steve?
I'm also not sure I come back to me.
What about you, Megan?
I think she actually did what she thought was right. And I'll be honest, I probably would have done the same. Maybe I would have gotten a little bit of backup. Like, if I really thought that this, and that it was maybe prompted by, like, a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde sort of situation, I would definitely want backup. But I would probably only get backup from a trusted few. I would still want to keep it on the DL.
Mm-hmm.
That's me anyway. And we got to see Joey again, very briefly, and he has come along so, so well. But I'll be honest, for a moment, the show faked me out. For a moment, I thought they murdered him.
Yeah, and for a second when they showed, you know, Lash on screen in front of Joey, they didn't show his transformation. I was like, that seems off.
She's like, wow, that was quick.
I was like, why didn't they show him going through the transition? But, you know, thankfully, it was just a daydream.
And it was a really good way to visually show, like, what he's feeling at that exact moment.
That was one of three very clear save the cat moments in this episode. That one being the clearest of, like, he could just kill that guy.
Yeah.
And we'd all be like, but...
But Joey!
But the world we're watching is a terrible place where everyone dies.
Yeah,
and
no,
then it's
for
like,
real.
No, no.
Well, we have a comment on the hashtag from LV4Tuna. He comments on a lot of stuff. He's great. Don't know how I feel about Andrew being Lash, but Blair Underwood as a villain? Hell yes. I have to agree with that. His we were talking about great performance. He had an amazing performance tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blair Underwood is fantastic. I don't think I talked about this last week. This totally rewrites my college graduation because Blair Underwood was like the key speaker.
That's so cool.
And so, now I'm like, Lash totally gave me all this advice after I graduated college. What do I do with that information?
I think you know what you have to do. Kill all inhumans.
That was the subtext
That's
of his
so
speech.
That's so cool. I would love to have him as a speaker.
Here's my thoughts on the whole thing with Andrew and Lash in this. It felt, and I know we usually compliment S.H.I.E.L.D. for this, for the speed. This felt very quick.
Yes.
Agreed.
It felt like I would have liked to get the reveal, because I love that we got the reveal so quick. We didn't need to draw that out. But I feel like we could have spent more time with him in the wild.
That he could have killed two, and then we could have got the reveal, and then we could have seen another three.
Like, we should have maybe seen, like, all his flights that he took, and, like, all the locations he was in.
Not even that, just, like, they caught him very quick. Mm-hmm.
Like, they should have given a little bit more time to maybe bring up more suspects.
Like, I would have liked to see, not even that, I would have liked to see them corner him and him escape.
Okay, so that they'd have to chase him for a little bit.
Yeah, I just like, and maybe they're going somewhere interesting with it, and this show has earned the benefit of the doubt for me.
Yeah.
So, but I that's what I left this episode feeling, is that I kind of wanted to see them chasing him, knowing that it's Andrew.
That's true,
because that changes everything about their approach, about the way they assess the situation, and even Phil, at one point, you know, when he has Lash with his robot hand, he's like saying, please, we're friends. Kind of, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe. I thought we were friends. I don't know.
Well, with that aside, I agree with you. I think it was really quick. But I love what they did with Andrew, with his character. They went from, like, me absolutely loving Andrew to, like, all of a sudden thinking he's, like, this huge skis ball, and, like, I don't trust him, and, like, now he's a straight-up villain. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
We're all upset.
Oh, sorry, Joyce, finish your...
I lost my train of thought.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was kind of done.
I wanted to ask, how do you guys feel about the idea of Lash and, like, Andrew... And it's not that Andrew wanted this,
but
so much as, like, it was, like, driven by his... I was a little frustrated. Like, we dealt with this a little bit last year with Cal. We deal with it with the Hulk. And it's, like, I kind of wanted it to be something that he truly believed, that was only revealed when he transformed.
Well, I kind of feel like he does do that. To me, it kind of reminds me of how Dexter is presented in the first season. And correct me if I'm wrong, I'm only seeing four episodes, so I apologize if I'm completely off in that. But, like, somebody feels compelled to do this horrible thing, and they don't feel normal until they do it. And for Andrew at this moment, that happens to be killing Inhumans. So in some ways, his transformation has transformed him into an Inhuman serial killer. And that's terrifying. And what's unfortunate about it, though, is that he's smart enough, I would think, smart enough to understand what's happened to him and to understand that what he feels compelled to do is wrong. But he doesn't feel that way. He doesn't feel that what he's compelled to do is wrong. He doesn't say that he likes it, but he says he has to do it. He views himself as the cure. Mm-hmm. So I actually do think that to an extent he's drank the Kool-Aid, and that it wasn't until he actually murdered an Inhuman that he understood that.
That was just part of his transformation. I also, like Eric Jackson in the chat just said, the ATCU is the Weapon X program for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because the Inhumans are essentially the X-Men.
Yeah. Well, we don't say that here.
Shh. Oh, we can't.
Cameron, Steve.
No. Oh, sorry. I didn't.
No, you're fine.
I didn't realize we were to that same standard.
Jesse usually covers his mouth when he says those
the
words.
Okay.
X-Men.
Mutant.
Okay. I'm back.
No,
on.
He's okay. We can talk about him. He's in our universe, sort of.
He's all right.
Soon.
Now.
Yeah, I have. Are we going to go back to what you had on the board? Where I had stuff about it.
Do you want to talk?
Just because you'd written there, so I need to. We need to do a check.
All right. Let's go back to Fitz and Gemma for a moment. We're going to put a pause on the Andrew Lash thing because he's been detained. He's been detained. Let's close the book on that and move on, because there's still a lot of other stuff to talk on this episode. So Fitz and Gemma, at the beginning of the episode, she gives him her phone to see if he can, like, pull any and all useful data from it, and he does. Mm-hmm. And so he essentially spends the rest of the episode looking at her selfies and the video diaries that she made addressed to him, and this is what we were talking about with it being so emotional. But he found on a symbol that was associated with the monolith, with the society that had, I guess, possession of the monolith for eons and eons and eons, and it just so happens to look like the same emblem from Will's group at NASA.
Kind of looks like a Taurus symbol.
It does look like a ram's head, doesn't it? It looks like a symbol of the Zodiac!
Totally happening.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's...
Zach.
I talk about it every week, but, like, I wanted to bring it up to, like, recap the evidence of this. Secret Warriors storyline is focused on the Zodiac. We know we're doing Secret Warriors. Those two don't necessarily have to go hand in hand. They absolutely could. We got Leviathan, which is a big piece of the Zodiac storyline, from Agent Carter last season. Now we have this symbol popping up. We have this secret organization that seems to be... Now we have this secret organization that seems to have carried centuries over, been invading into bigger organizations, crossing lines. It could easily be... we'll get to this later, but it could easily be what is going on with Rosalind and Board
Malik.
Of Shadowy Figures. Malik, thank you. I just in my head, he's just the one from the Board of Shadowy Figures.
evil-looking guy. Yeah. And the only reason we know his name is Malik is because of subtitles.
That's true.
Kelly Marie in the check, but why would Zodiac want Phil dead? To that I say, we don't know that Malik wants Phil dead. All he wants is Phil brought to him.
Yeah, he could very well want Ward dead. He could want, like... Zodiac, if this is Zodiac, and even if it's not Zodiac, we can tell that Malik is working on a much more grand scale than anything that S.H.I.E.L.D. or Hydra has been dealing with in their squabble and their war on each other. You get the impression from Malik that all of this is just part of, like, a chess game. Like, he's just... Every huge monumental thing that we've ever seen in the MCU is just somebody moving another piece.
Yeah. This guy was... think about what the first... One of the first things we saw Malik ever do was launch a nuke at Manhattan.
Now, that was
an extreme measure, but...
You lose your
roots. Would love it if S.H.I.E.L.D. went all the way back and tied, like, what his reasoning was for the nuke is based on him being a member of the Zodiac Grand Wheel.
I mean, that's thinking real far ahead. That, like, just...
Isn't
props
it
to the MCU.
Back, though, because it was, like...
I'm talking about writers back then. That's way looking towards the future.
This is the kind of thing where... It was never... I don't think it would have been intended at the time, but you can do revisionist history and go back, and that's transmedia storytelling, is sometimes you go back to something that
and you're like,
was
oh,
never...
We can use that.
Yeah, it was never intended to be that, but it absolutely fits, and why not? It fits.
also, the Zodiac was in the one-shot with Agent Carter. The Zodiac was in the one-shot with Agent Carter, which was before Avengers.
Yeah, I sort of feel like they've decided that is non-canon anymore.
Fair enough.
Because it is totally in conflict with the
it contradicts
all of
a lot.
The season of Agent Carter.
Fair enough.
I think it's... And we talked about this a lot on the Agent Carter panel, obviously, where it was just like, we feel like this was just, here, let us make an Agent Carter show. We will make it as good as this short.
Yeah.
That is neither here nor there.
But that said, it's clear that they want to do it. They've
Zodiac's
revived
been in
it
there.
In the books right now. So I know Spider-Man was dealing with it recently in his new book, or the new volume of the Amazing Spider-Man. They are setting the stage for it.
Yeah.
And I digress.
We've got a lot of comments on the hashtag. Jillian Davila says, it's all connected. It's always connected. Hannah Fitz on Twitter also says, coincidence? I think not. And Mike in Cleve 66 says, just my opinion, but I think Simmons knowingly played with Fitz with the fix my phone move. She knew he would see those videos.
That's a good,
That's interesting.
That makes sense.
And I don't, before we anyone thinks, I don't think that she, if that's true, that she did it in a manipulative way.
No.
I think she wanted, like, Fitz is mad. I mean, she saw him, like,
She can tell how it's affecting him and how hurt he is. But, you know, again, he's trying to be a good friend and be supportive. But, yeah, he's hurt.
Because Fitz is such a good guy that he knows it's not her fault.
Yeah.
She didn't do this to him intentionally.
Yeah, and she didn't do anything wrong.
No.
Let's be clear. And she did nothing wrong.
And Fitz knows that. And so he's too good a guy to be mad with her.
He just loves her. He's right. Wolfless.
Maybe it's less of a. Again, I don't think it was meant in a manipulative way either. But maybe it was her way of being able to say all the things she wanted to say, but couldn't. You know, because something that we've seen that they have a problem with in the last season and a half is communication. So maybe it was just her way of trying to tell him, "I care about you. Yeah. I love you, but I can't." Say it, it for some
it
reason.
It took her to go to another planet to say it.
I don't know. Literally. Steve, your thoughts?
No, that was going to be my thought. She literally had to go to another planet for a very long period of time to just be like, Fitz, I love you. And even then, she couldn't just flat out say that.
Speaking about couples, you guys want to talk about Phil and Roz? She put the moves on him, man.
She's smooth.
I can learn a thing or two. How do I go to the Roz school of picking up guys? Because she knew how to work.
All you got to do is run an organization that flies in the face of everything the man you want stands for.
Awesome.
Slowly bend it so that it seems like you're doing the things that he wants you to do.
Ties.
Promise him a meeting with the president.
So
and then
simple.
You got him.
Simple. Four-step, five-step process.
Andrew Marie says, I do not ship it.
Not anymore.
Oh, I feel like such a fool because throughout this entire episode, like I was saying earlier, I'm going, kiss, kiss, kiss.
This was the first episode where I felt like, okay, maybe I can fully trust Rosalind. And I was like, Daisy's being she's overreacting or she's being too harsh. And then, like, we get hit with the preview. With today.
Yeah. Well, because Rosalind is giving a reasonable argument.
She is. I put in my notes that she makes a lot of sense. I can't deny that her reasoning behind what she's doing makes sense.
People are dangerous. Yeah. You give somebody a gun, you know, who knows what they could do.
I mean, and Daisy has to understand that. That's a legitimate fear, legitimate concern.
And that's the tough part is it's like you don't want to strip people of their rights, but if they are causing harm to others, even when they don't want to. Like, Joey could have easily killed people when he didn't know how to control his powers. Now he can use them for good, and he can control what he's doing, and he wants to, and that's great. But for those people with powers that are too far beyond them, like Lash, because for every Daisy Johnson, there's a Lash, which is a great quote.
It was great.
This is seemingly the most humane option. And Daisy's looking for a better one, but she hasn't got one. No one does.
Yeah.
No. But what's kind of frustrating, too, is that because we don't know the full story with Roz yet, we don't know what's an act and what's genuine human emotion. We don't know how much she's manipulating us. Because, like, I actually really appreciated the Daisy-Roz dynamic in this episode. And even halfway through, before Daisy ever saved her, you know, you could tell Roz respected her. Or at least was pretending to respect her in front of Phil. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Thoughts?
I think Roz could actually respect her. From what we saw the way this season opened, her ability to just take down all her people and then free a guy. I think she has nothing but respect for Daisy.
Look, even Hydra has respect for the abilities of S.H.I.E.L.D. It doesn't mean that they don't have bad intentions. That said, I'm not willing to 100% say that Rosalind has bad intentions yet. I think it remains to be seen. If we are doing a Zodiac or Zodiac-esque story, Malik may not be a bad guy. Whatever this bigger organization with Zodiac, there are Hydra members on Baron von Strucker is on the Great Wheel of the Zodiac. Yeah. I can't remember offhand what his symbol was, but they had Strucker there. They had members of Leviathan there. Every single organization that, as they put it in the book, wanted to control the world was represented. So that goes to Nick Fury, which in this version of the story would be Phil Coulson. Mm-hmm. That would potentially go to Rosalind. That would go to Hydra. That could go to any number of organizations.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe with the World Council and, you know, the heads of Hydra and just all the other things that have been going on, maybe a lot of Zodiac has actually been wiped out in the process. You know, high-ranking Hydra members, high-ranking S.H.I.E.L.D. members, the Board of Shadowy Figures is basically dead. Maybe what Malik is trying to do is try to maybe fill some open seats. Maybe.
Probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Well, we'll get back to that.
Yes.
But first, we need to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes.
Folks,
thank you so, so much, as always, to everybody who's gone to the iTunes store to rate and leave a comment on this podcast. Guys, your guys' comments put a smile on our faces, and it's the best way to let our producers know that you like the show that we're putting on, and it just kind of makes our day. And we know we have an international audience as well, and we adore getting tweets and YouTube comments from you guys. I saw earlier this week people were giving us shout-outs from Brazil.
Yeah.
It's just
we also get
so
emails,
cool.
Which is
yeah,
amazing.
We did get an email earlier. Was that earlier today?
It was earlier today. We got sent a link for an interview with Brett Dalton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost called him Grant Ward. I'm like, that's not right.
I wanted to say Ward too, but I was like, no. I'm going to call him.
We would have accepted that.
That would have been really funny if he did an interview in character.
That would be amazing.
That would be pretty fun. So, guys, again, we can't thank you enough, and we really want to beat Scandal, so it really means the world to us
when
you show
our support. We keep
getting
up. We're up to 465 ratings.
Oh,
we just need, like, 90 more.
Although,
that's our goal, you guys.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, no offense to Scandal.
Still
but if you look at the ratings comparison, like of the actual shows, you just all you guys have to do is
we're
wait.
Not trying to throw shade on Scandal. I just like bigger numbers.
Yeah, sorry, I was trying to throw shade on Scandal.
I never watched the show. I'm sure it's great, but I just want to be the best at AfterBuzz.
Yeah,
that's all I care about.
It looks like it retreads season one every time. I'm the designated shade thrower.
Do we have any new comments?
Yeah. Star Lord says ABTV can substitute as a friend. I'm 30 years old. Being a nerd was looked down upon while I was growing up. Therefore, I've constructed my friendships to make me look cool.
Aww.
That's what we all try to do.
Yeah.
In doing so, I've ended up with no friends that watch the same shows as I do. This is where ABTV comes in. I can watch a show that none of my friends watch, yet still get to talk about it. Thanks, Star-Lord.
Thank you.
I'm really glad that we can do it, because I can think everyone at this table can say we've been there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
The Lore Seeker writes in, we've got the band back together again. Angel Shield hits it out of the park. I'm going to have to redo some quick ones of these, because there's too many. Strike a Gong says, so helpful for processing episodes. You guys are so good at helping me process what I just watched and catching little things I didn't notice. I'm half asleep watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sometimes.
It does air late.
Yeah.
P.S. Let's beat Scandal. Dr. Latte says, AfterBuzz TV's best show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. Hi, all. I love the show. Very good insight theories brought to you by wonderful personalities. Madison Badger 00 on Twitter. Madison Badger 00 writes in again after that. Love this after the show. You should all get a big raise because your insight and conversation are great.
Aww.
Yes, 5,000% raise.
Hurrah!
We'll get it tomorrow. This is our favorite podcast every week, says 19M19ML. Enjoy it as much as the show. Thank you for producing it. Surf Chef says, amazing. So glad to have a great group to share feedback from every show. Glad to have you as an awesome podcast. Keep up the great show. Lizzie Twit says, amazing, hilarious, one of a kind. This podcast from AfterBuzz has to be the best one in the entire world. Your comments are hilarious. Oh, I've got some fun stuff coming. and being shushed at the library while laughing is totally worth it. Yes. Take that, librarians.
but please, guys, don't listen to us in class. We don't want anyone getting detention.
I am not discouraging that. Aguila 420 says, if I could, I'd write a 5-star review every week for you guys. I don't know how iTunes works, if that's possible. Piano Librarian says, there's a librarian listening, too.
Is it the same?
It's the same person. They heard somebody laugh, and they're like, I gotta check this out. Best Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast I've tried. I tried a couple of other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcasts, but the panel on this show is more diverse and well-balanced than any of them. The team puts such a lot of enthusiasm into every show, and listening is one of the best parts of my week. Phil Coulson's left hand writes it again.
Hearing from you.
Phil Coulson's left hand has been writing us messages, I guess because it has Wi-Fi access. It says, stop whining, Phil. Stop whining. Sorry. I'm getting sick and tired of hearing Phil whine about his fancy new hand. He was the one who sacrificed me, and now he's complaining? Pitiful, Phil. All you had to do was let everyone else on the ship die. Simple. Plus, we don't even know if you would have changed after touching the Terrigen Crystal.
Thank you. Maybe
you would have been fine. Actually, I suppose I should be blaming Mac. Thanks, Mac. Thanks a lot. Whoever you are,
so great. You are amazing.
I love hearing this saga.
And lastly, JRenee424 says, great, this podcast is great. Because that's all it takes, guys. Great. You don't have to write one of the long reviews. You can just saying the podcast is great is more than enough.
Keep it
you
simple.
I think there might be a 5-word word count or something.
Steve has a beard. Jesse also has a beard. That's a review. It's a pretty good review.
It's not a review.
It's an observation.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, speaking of Mac, I actually very much appreciated another team up in this episode was Mac and Lincoln. Like, I really...
Surprising team.
I really was... When Mac got that call at the beginning of the episode and he's looking at Andrew, I could have sworn it was May calling for backup. But no, it ended up being Lincoln.
Yeah. I had a feeling it was Lincoln because it's less strange for May to call Mac than it is for Lincoln. And we know that he had called Daisy before, so he's probably constantly trying to get in contact with people, you know... Because he said he was looking for friends, making sure people were still alive. So,
yeah,
I thought they
work well together. I think Mac's sort of distrust of him to begin with sort of got them on a good foot. You might say that the bond between them is electric.
No one's saying that. Thank you, Alexis. Thank you. Feed me your hatred.
I thought I was bad. I've toned down.
But I think you hit the nail on the head. I feel like who would have thought that Mac's skepticism and general distrust would in fact make him the most trustworthy person at S.H.I.E.L.D.
I mean, because he actually thinks about it. Like, the thing is, like, this is what Rosalind was pointing out to Daisy, was you can't just blindly accept these people. These people, whatever was their intentions, intentions go out the window when they start harming others. You have to be critical when you're dealing with superpowers, when you're dealing with these what did they refer to them as on this one?
New humans?
New humans is what, but like, what did Rosalind say, like, superhuman? Did they just call them superhumans?
They may have just called them superhumans.
Okay.
I mean, the
meta
human.
I'm kidding.
No. I'll get out of here, DC.
I'll just put that in the mutant jar.
And then I said mutant jar.
Ugh.
Well, they keep going back to Outbreak. That this is an outbreak, and they very much keep treating it like a disease. And actually, we got a tweet also from Hannah Fitz, who actually sent us a poll. And I want to hear from you guys at home as well in regards to Lash. Do you guys think that Lash would have been better off in the ATCU containment unit, as we saw at the end of the episode, or do you think he would have been better off at S.H.I.E.L.D.? Or better, like, maybe less better for him, and just better for everyone.
Like contained, but conscious in the cube, little white room cube.
Basically, is it better for him and for the rest of the world if he's in S.H.I.E.L.D.'s hands or the ATCU's?
I think they needed to put him under into the stasis. Lash, as we saw him in this episode, is very, very powerful. You can't shoot him. He can cut through walls. I'm not convinced that he couldn't cut through that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that, like, there's a certain amount of, like, just accept that this is impenetrable, and I think that's what we're supposed to believe. But I don't trust that Lash wouldn't be able to get out of there.
I think for Andrew's sake, he's better in the ATCU because we know that this is his transition period and that at some point he's going to permanently become Lash. So I feel like in order for them to slow down that process, he needs to be in the ATCU. And I know May cares enough to agree with that if that was presented to her, you know, so they can look for the cure and they could help him at some point. But I don't know. I think he would be better off at the ATCU containment unit.
I think given the information we have now, the ATCU makes the most sense.
Yeah.
But a couple people in our chat,
including
you had it in all caps. It was more than a couple times you said it, and then I scrolled and it got weird.
A lot of people think he's going to be a weapon.
Sergio thinks he's going to be a weapon for the ATCU.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very classic storyline when you capture a bunch of people who have crazy powers. I mean, even Joey, who he was like Meltman when we first met him. Now he can mold things. He can build things with his mind out of potentially any matter. We don't know what the limits are of his power. And as Rosalind says, may not even know your own strength. Daisy had a power she didn't know that she could until she just reacted today. So who knows what kind of crazy team they could build out of this collection of superpowered people.
I also suppose in S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't know how much of this I can believe, but Andrew said he would never kill, he never wanted to kill Joey, and he would never touch Daisy. So I feel like the people that I'm worried about in the show, if he were with S.H.I.E.L.D., would be okay if he stays with S.H.I.E.L.D., but I'm thinking more in terms of, Andrew himself. And May.
I didn't believe him when he said that about Joey.
Okay.
Maybe I was overreading, but I thought I detected a brief hesitation when he said Joey. I don't think he's
I wouldn't hurt Joey.
Yeah.
Or Daisy. I'm just wouldn't hurt Daisy.
But he's saying
he has control over it.
He says he wants to kill all the bad ones. I don't know.
No, I think he legitimately does want to kill the bad ones.
The
dark side ones. I think he's looking at that. I mean, but we saw in his head what he thought about doing to Joey. I think that a lot of the stories, the inhuman version, what you become after the cocoon, is not necessarily the same person that you were.
Mm-hmm.
This is a rewriting of the core of who you are. And that means a lot. The abilities that he's been given may have just given thoughts that he had already about Inhumans.
And it's just amplified.
It's amplified, and now he has the means to take care of it. I want to think that that's really what we're getting, and not that because he has these powers, now he wants to kill people.
It's just a heightened exhibit of what he actually believed in.
It's just taking a problem and he's taking it into his own hands. If this is going to be a problem, I'm going to deal with it.
Yeah.
I think personally he feels compelled to kill all Inhumans. Mm. But the part of him that is a therapist and the part of him that works for S.H.I.E.L.D. is rationalizing what he's doing by saying, I'm only killing the bad ones.
But see, I want to know
Go ahead.
No, finish.
No, I was just going to say, but that's just his rationalization. We saw that couple. That couple wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
And presumably even Lincoln, he was working in a hospital.
Yeah.
If that's not trying to be good, I don't know what is.
That's what I'm saying. I want to know what Lash's explanation for their dark sides are. I want to know what he sees in Lincoln that we're not seeing yet.
Because, he thinks that boy has a dark
side. And I want to know, it would be interesting to find out, what he saw in that couple, to justify him killing them in his Lash mind.
He just doesn't like Lincoln because he knows that Lincoln has a thing for Daisy, and basically every person on this show is Daisy's
surrogate
mom or dad. And they're no, you don't get to go out
He's
with my daughter.
He's not good enough for you.
You're not going to get her back by 10. I just know it.
Daisy has 10 dads.
He drives a motorcycle.
To the point I was saying before about asides, there was one moment when he was giving his speech about at first, I don't know if anyone else heard it, but he said at first I was relieved I had survived. And I'm like, there's a beat you missed there. At first I was relieved. I was petrified.
Oh,
but
shit.
I survived.
Oh my God.
She's been thinking I could never live without you by my side.
I'm so glad you're doing these tonight.
How many nights do you think he spent?
Just thinking how he did her wrong. And he grew strong. And he learned how to get along.
And by killing inhumans.
But now Jeff is back from outer space. We should stop.
Never.
We should stop. Well, we should stop or we should write the whole music video.
Yeah.
Come back.
Either or.
Real quick, going back to Mac trusting Lincoln, I feel like his trust in Lincoln comes from his trust in Daisy. Like, how much he cares about Daisy and how much he knows Daisy cares about Lincoln's well-being. So, I think if anything, Mac is gonna... What?
The chat rolls. I'm just getting their reactions.
They're on a little bit of a delay.
It was brilliant. I loved it. It was good.
I'm sorry, George.
But you're right.
Pretty much it. I mean, he so much respects Daisy that he's not gonna think twice about helping Lincoln if it means helping the rest of S.H.I.E.L.D., making sure they're safe. If Lincoln has information and, you know, Mac knows that him and everybody else and Daisy are going to be safe, he's going to team up with Lincoln to take care of it.
And now Lincoln's here to stay.
Yeah.
Whether or not he's going to try to lash out at the members of the ATCU and members of S.H.I.E.L.D. even while he's there, now that he is there. Because he probably feels like he's never going to stop running for them. Yeah. So it's either fight or join them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He might have a dark side. Who knows?
He might.
We still don't know much about Lincoln. There's a lot that we can get from him. There's a lot that I would love to get an episode where we get into his backstory and really find out where he came from. We don't know how he was found. Like, we still don't know that about Afterlife, which I like that moment with Rosalind when she hears Afterlife. She's like, hold on. Afterlife? It's not a big deal. We'll explain later. It's not that. Like, we're not going to heaven and hell yet.
No, I think she knew what Afterlife was.
No, that reaction to me was...
She was clueless.
She was like, wait a minute. We're talking about dead people now? What was I saying? I would love to know how Lincoln got to Afterlife. Like, how was he found? Because he said that we know that supposedly he had a normal upbringing and then he was brought in as somebody who wasn't human. But there are tons of people who have inhuman DNA out there. Andrew's one. Why, if they knew about Lincoln, why not Andrew?
And we know that at one point in his life, he was in a very dark place. You know, he was an alcoholic. He needed a sponsor. And that presumably this guy who was his sponsor, who before he died, pulled him out of a pretty dark rut. You know, so, yeah, who knows what sort of things Lincoln has
maybe
in his past.
Maybe someone with a vice. I don't know.
So I do want to touch on one other thing before we get into predictions, and that's Bobby and Hunter. And it was very, very brief in this episode, but it's so nice to see them come back together. But it's weird to see that they're both calling off the search for Ward just when Ward seems to be getting steam, like moving along the organization. So do we think this is a good move? Do we think this is pertaining to the upcoming show? What are your guys' thoughts?
I mean, they're clearly setting the stage for it, for the Hunting Bird show, which if it's not called Hunting Bird, I mean, we know what it's called. It's not called Hunting Bird.
But it should be called Hunting Bird.
Yeah. It's called Marvel's Most Wanted. But,
Subheader, Mockingbird.
I do like them together. I mean, the more we can get from Mockingbird, the better. I don't want to lose her out of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I think she has a good dynamic. That said, whether it's intentional or not, she hasn't done a lot this season so far. She's been sidelined for her own reasons. She had a great episode last week. But I like that. It was sweet.
Yeah.
It was sweet and like perfectly heartbreaking and emotional when she's like, I don't care about killing him, I want you alive.
Yeah, I think it's a setup for their show too. I feel like at this point they're both going to be sidelined, and you know, now Hunter's not going to do anything pretty much because this is his only major mission, so they're going to quiet down as characters, as a couple, and it's going to be their way of like weaning out of S.H.I.E.L.D.
because I think stakes wise they would keep going after Ward. But they have a lot else going on in S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, and I think Ward's kind of on the back burner of S.H.I.E.L.D. that they're going to have to leave S.H.I.E.L.D. to go after him.
Yeah, well, I don't... See, that's the thing, is I'm not sure that they will go after Ward. I think Bobby has a good point. They should... Ward deserves to be killed. They both agree with that. But they should not be the ones to go after him because they're too emotional. Hunter made an emotional decision when he went after Ward this last time, and that was when he got into trouble. It was if he had been thinking clearly, if he hadn't been so emotionally tied to, I need revenge, as, I mean, parallels right with Ward talking about revenge, if he might have made a better decision. He might have made a safer decision and not gotten everyone into trouble. Now we know that Andrew would have been fine regardless, but the point is, like, Hunter wasn't thinking clearly. Put him on another case and he'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
And we see that maybe spying isn't his specialty, but he certainly finds ways of getting the job done
quickly.
Again, not very stealthily, though. Well, that basically wraps it up for this episode. Is there anything else you guys want to touch on before we move into predictions?
I actually real quick thought it was interesting. When they were in the process of capturing Lash, you know, we heard Daisy say he was sick. And that's the first time she's ever acknowledged an inhuman as sick. Because she's been the person to say, we're not sick. Like, this
isn't... we're not a disease.
We're not a disease. Stop trying to find a cure. There's nothing wrong with us. We just need to learn. And this was the first time where she's like, he's not a maniac. He's sick. When Lincoln was like, he's insane, you know.
Well, I mean, there are perfectly normal human beings who are sick in the head. And maybe that's how she meant it. Like, not that he's, like, the inhuman part is sick, but, like, he has, even for surprisingly for a therapist, he has some mental instability going on. And, like, if you can just get him on some antidepressants or something.
I think if you
balance
just,
him out.
If you go too far inhuman, you're deemed not a human.
Yeah. But I feel like maybe, and I might be reading too much into that moment, but... like, that's when maybe she figured, okay, maybe what Rosalind is saying makes some sense. She's not agreeing that everyone is sick or, you know, that all humans are diseased, but, like, this is not anything, like, anywhere near what she pictured, like, inhumans to be in terms of, like, after transformation and all that stuff. So.
Well, and she still feels obligated to help Andrew because he helped her. Mm-hmm. He helped her control her powers and work through it emotionally. And all this other stuff, which is why we loved Andrew. We all loved Andrew for all of the good that he's done. Mm-hmm. And that's why this is so tragic. And while we're all still trying to wrap our heads around why this is happening. Yeah. So, yeah, unless that's it, then let's go ahead and move it into predictions.
No, I got to put predictions now.
Predictions. I don't know.
So, I think I speak for everyone when I say this Roz-Coulson relationship, they're just going to ride off into the sunset, right?
That's totally fine, right?
Nothing terrible is going to happen there.
See the previews for next episode?
I know.
The question is, how much does Coulson know going in? How much is he going to find out? How long is it going to take to find out? And how much access will he give her before he does? I need a minute to think about my answers to those questions.
All interesting questions.
I'm likely not going to be here next week to answer if I'm dead wrong, so I should probably go first. I think Coulson knows a decent amount of Roz's backstory and her involvement with Malik, that he didn't really let his guard down today. I think... Lash is going to be a weapon for the ATCU, and I think Fitz and Gemma will not get together this season.
I'm going to disagree. I don't think Coulson knows that she's involved, but I think he's going to figure it out very quickly next episode, because if he did know at this point, that it makes, like, the fact that they slept together real weird.
Real messy.
He's
up.
Like, I know you're playing me, but I'm going to get some anyway. Like, yeah. That's like
my Coulson. Hashtag my Coulson.
Yeah.
Hate the game, not the player.
Oh, my God. It's my turn to, like...
There, look what you did. Look what you did.
I also think Coulson doesn't know yet. And I also still think that Rosalind isn't completely in the know of, like, what Malik's plan is. I mean, she knows that maybe her idea, she knows that the plan is to bring him to Malik, but when she finds out what Malik actually wants to do with him, whether it's to kill him or not, if it's something that she totally disagrees with, then she'll change her course and, like, officially side with him and S.H.I.E.L.D.
So you think that she has legitimate feelings for Coulson?
I think she does. I think she does. I mean...
Falling in love with you wasn't part of the plan.
But really, though, but I still feel like there are parts of Malik's plan that are hidden from her.
Yeah, it's entirely possible that he's just playing the high-ranking government official, because that's been kind of a constant refrain, is that her organization is under a lot of pressure to detain all of these Inhumans, to detain these threats.
Yeah.
So it could be that she just thinks he's a high-ranking official in whatever he's pretending to be or whatever he actually is. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend like I know his job description. So it could be that he's just her superior, and that her superior is just saying, hey, I want to meet with Phil Coulson. I heard he was at our facility the other day. I'd love to meet him.
There was a tone there that was... There was a tone there that was a little more evil. Maybe, like, it's because we just saw him tell Ward everything.
Yeah, I think you're coloring it with that, this is a crazy prediction from Ivan Soto.
Let's hear it.
Price is Madame Hydra.
Whoa!
Dude! Someone drop a mic. Do we think there's any weight to that? Because I granted, it would be a great, it would be a great misleading way to, you know, make it seem like she was going to be the leader or the head of S.W.O.R.D. And then this would be a really great surprise in the same way that they were kind of setting up Victoria Hand to sort of be a little bit of, to be a villain, and then she turned out not to be. Like, that would be a really great setup. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't have enough data to come to a conclusion.
I mean, it would. We don't know anything about her backstory, so there's no reason right now that they couldn't go that direction.
Yeah. She's a ghost. I mean, she's had so many identities.
Exactly. She could be. They could make her anything.
Well, you have left us speechless, man. You have left us speechless. Oh, well done.
I don't know what to do anymore.
Well done. Well, guys, that, I think, wraps it up for tonight's episode.
Can it be 6 days and 20 hours from now?
I would love it if it was, because then I could get my S.H.I.E.L.D. fixed. Well, guys, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you to everybody on the hashtag. Thank you to everybody in the live chat. Steve Kaufman, where can people go if they want to find out about you?
People can go. They can find me on Twitter, at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. I do a lot of shows here. Monday, it's Leftovers. Gotham. Tuesday, it is Muppets. Wednesday, it is Modern Family. And then Thursdays, it is Heroes Reborn. Like I said, a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I tweet about them regularly.
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @ZachWilson. And I'm on, much like Steve, I'm on a whole bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, including The Muppets. And coming up soon, just a few weeks away, we don't know what our schedule is going to be like, but I think we might do some binging of Jessica Jones. So stay tuned for that. Jesse Klein and I will be keeping you updated as we go.
Cool. All right, guys, thanks for watching. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Azuri, and hopefully I'll see you guys on there and next week. I'm also on the Sunday Night Walking Dead panel here at AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah, and guys, don't forget, you can follow Jesse Klein at JessKlein1 on Twitter. And you guys can follow me, Megan Salinas, on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, including Ash vs. the Evil Dead on Sundays, and it's so great and fantastic and wonderful. And I write articles for the movie Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Guys, thank you. This was a fantastic episode to talk about.
Cool.
Always a blast.
I'm going to go lie down.
I know, right? Jeez.
The only way I could cope was throwing shade at Scandal.
Work our way through it. Thank you guys for being our emotional catharsis this evening. Thank you guys so much. Have a wonderful night. We will see you all next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later! The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.